Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield to Knightstown and beyond. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine. With care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
What's going on the southern border right now with the end of so-called Title 42? And there are a lot of reports. And again, you're only seeing this on a select few of the national networks. A lot of the usual suspects are ignoring it completely. But you're seeing what appears to be a rather dramatic influx. And look, we've had an influx for months, years, since the Biden administration. Since they've been in office, we've seen an incredible surge. Clearly, the border's been out of control since President Biden took the White House. But now you're seeing, with the end of what were at least some controls legally to keep people out of the country, well, now you're seeing this huge surge, this big influx. And, you know, a lot of people are responding in different ways. Obviously, we need reform. We need immigration reform. We need a new administration in the White House so we can actually enforce immigration law in this country. That would be nice. That would be a welcome change and a return to the policies under President Trump that finally had the border under some form of control. And a lot of people are talking a lot about this and the legal issues, the political issues. And you know what I was reminded of? Again, this is my mindset. You know what I was reminded of? I was reminded of the language of the Second Amendment. I mean, I'm common theme on tonight's show. You know, the words, the thoughts, the writings, the basis of what the founders put into these beautiful documents that form this country. And the wording of the Second Amendment, to me, is really relevant to what's going on the southern border right now. It says a well-regulated militia. And look, for years, for decades, hell, for longer than that, going back to the last century, a lot of people came out and said, well, militia, well-regulated militia, that means if you're not part of an organized governmental unit, if you're not part of today what we call the National Guard, the Second Amendment does nothing for you. It doesn't confer an individual right. It's a collective right that only protects your right to bear arms if you're part of the organized state militia, which today would be the National Guard. Well, the Supreme Court in 2008 in the Heller versus D.C. case set that squarely aside and said, no, the militia in 1791, when the Second Amendment was ratified, was everyone. Then it was all able-bodied males between particular ages. Today it'd be all able-bodied adults. It was everybody. It's an individual right. But a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And so when we talk about well-regulated militia. Regulated doesn't mean regulated by the government. I've covered this many times, too. It means well-regulated in 1791 meant well-trained, efficient. Like a well-regulated clock keeps good time. And there are dozens, hundreds of examples of how the founders used the term well-regulated. It was not by regulation from the government. It was training. It was efficiency. It was being properly equipped. Well-regulated militia means a militia that's able to do its job, that was effective. But a well-regulated, well-trained, well-equipped, efficient, effective militia, which is everyone, the common citizens, being necessary to the security of a free state. Let's break that down. Security of a free state. Security and free are very important. But they're very independent. Security of the state. State, they're talking about the country. They could very well be talking about the individual states as well, which were formed from the colonies as part of the formation of this country and the signing of the Constitution. But this a secure country, we want the people to be well-armed to protect the security of the country. Do millions and millions of unregulated people who are illegally entering this country Do they threaten the security of this country? Clearly they do. And it just occurred to me that if the founders would look at this and say, my goodness, we would want the militia, we would want the people to be available to join the government forces, just like they did in the War for Independence, just like they did in the War of 1812. We had the militia, we had the standing army, they stood side by side. And we're not talking about being rogue, we're not talking about going off, we're not talking about murdering people, we're not talking about, you know, unnecessary violence. I'm not talking about any of that. That's how, of course, we get portrayed. That's exactly the opposite of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about forming the people's army. That's what a militia is. To enforce the policies of this country, the lawful, appropriate policies of this country. The founders today would look at what's going on in the southern border and say, my God, why doesn't the government call out the militia? Why don't we get involved? Why don't we bring out the forces necessary to protect the security of this state, the security of this country? Now, free, of course, has a whole other meaning. That is, when the government itself threatens your freedom, the people's army, the militia, the common man ought to be able to stand up and defend the liberty of their fellow citizens. That's free. That's the free part of necessary to the security of a free state. But security is completely different, independent, and important. And look, I understand there are families who are just seeking a better life. I get all that. I'm not advocating violence against people even illegally entering this country. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it when we have an overwhelming threat to the security of this country. There are resources available that our founders specifically envisioned. And that's why, by the way, if they're going to be involved, what do you want them? You want them well-regulated, meaning trained and equipped. So they're not rogue. So they're not flying off the handle. So they're not doing anything that is inconsistent with the policies and the laws of this country. But that's that resource that this country envisioned, the founders envisioned. And rather than recognize that vast, tremendous resource, I saw a statistic somewhere, and I'm going to totally screw this up. I'm going to bastardize the numbers. But somebody says, that, you know, the hunters in Wisconsin, the deer hunters in Wisconsin, the numbers of them would be like the third largest standing army in the world, something along those lines, right? Well, hey, let's talk about Texas and Arizona and California. California, all right, that's a problem. But look at the resources of it. The founders would say, let's call out the militia, not to be rogue, not to be crazy, not to be criminals, not to be violent, not to be murderous. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about enforcing the law. That's what security of a free state means. That's exactly what the founders envisioned. But you know what the leaders of this country call that resource right there? The armed, trained private citizen, rather than the militia that's necessary for the security of a free state that the founders called us? In these 200 and whatnot years, we've gone from being a well-regulated militia that's necessary for the security of this country to what Kamala Harris just called us, extremists. How sad is that? How much does that tell you about where this country has gone since its founding? And what does that tell you about what the founders would think about how your constitutional rights under the Second Amendment are being viewed right now by the government of the United States? That's sad to me. That's miserably sad to me. That's heartbreaking to me, but that's where we are.